The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner going out at daybreak to hire workers for his vineyard. He made an agreement with the workers for 1 denarius a day and sent them to his vineyard. Going out at about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go to my vineyard too, and I will give you a fair wage.' So they went. At about the sixth hour, and again at about the ninth hour, he went out and did the same. Then at about the eleventh hour, he went out and found more men standing round, and he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You go into my vineyard too.' In the evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his bailiff, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with the last arrivals and ending with the first.' So those who were hired at about the 11th hour came forward and received 1 denarius each. When the first came, they expected to receive more, but they too received 1 denarius each. They took it, but grumbled at the landowner. 'The men who came last,' they said, 'have done only 1 hour, and you have treated them the same as us, though we have done a heavy day's work in all the heat.' He answered one of them, said, 'My friend, I am not being unjust to you. Did we not agree on 1 denarius? Take your earnings and go. I choose to pay the last comer as much as I pay you. Have I no right to do what I like with my own? Why be envious because I am generous?' Thus the last will be first, and the first last." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the moving moments that those of us who have been to Bethlehem had when we were there was leaving Bethlehem very early in the morning, and when you've been through the checkpoint where that awful wall there is to keep people out, there's a bit of no man's land. And in that no man's land, early in the morning, were crowds of Palestinian men just waiting to be hired each day. If they were hired, that was fine, and if it wasn't, then they had no work that day. And the only work that was available to them was working for the Israelis to build their settlements, which, of course, as Palestinians, they would not be allowed to live in. So, of course, it brought very much home to us this particular parable, because there they were waiting to be hired each day. And, of course, since then, in the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so, Netanyahu said they'd taken more land from the Palestinians around Bethlehem and building more settlements. But really the parable, and I'm not going to preach about it for another reason, but it's about the generosity of God. That at the end of it is what it's about. Whether you come first or last, whenever you're called, we get the same reward. We may have borne the burden and heat of the day. We may have come at the last moment. But the reward is with the Lord. And the Lord is always generous to all of us. And that's gospel. That's good news. God is love. God is truth. God is beauty. Praise him. That is good news. Which is what the bishops of England and Wales want us to concentrate on today. And they've left some notes for me to sort of not quite read to you, but to turn into something. Because we know that Home Mission Sunday, we're meant to bring others to Christ, but I think we find it difficult in many different ways. We're not like the witnesses who go knocking on your doors. We don't meet in the high street like the Mormons. And yet, we know our task that Jesus gives is bringing others to know him. So the bishops give us 4 steps to think about just to start with. And the first is charity begins at home. So start with yourself. Myself, yourself. As baptized Christians, the way we evangelize best is by witnessing in our daily life, just living that gospel more day by day, helping maybe someone in need, bearing some of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all the others. But if you thought, if everyone, every Christian had that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that self-control, the other fruits too, it would be a different world. And Pope Francis has written to us today to say, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment, as you're listening now, to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Because the Lord does not disappoint those who take the risk. And so we do come at his invitation to his table to hear his holy word. So it's at this moment the Lord's saying, reflect on your life. Do we give time enough to prayer? Do we give time enough for Christian witness? Do we have time enough? Is our lifestyle worthy of the gospel of Christ that St. Paul spoke of in that second reading? And then the bishops are focusing on reflect on family life. Again, Pope Francis has said that the family is experiencing a profound cultural crisis. Every Christian family we know should try to follow the Holy Family. And if you think it was all plain sailing in the Holy Family, just reflect, just as the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the confusion in her heart, and are you sure what you're asking? Don't be afraid, he says. In the same way to Joseph, don't be afraid. And the Holy Family's difficulties, as Herod is seeking him out, they fly off, flee, as it were, not fly off, but flee into Egypt. Losing Jesus at 12 when he's confusing and says, I must be in my father's business. And obviously Mary walking the Via Dolorosa with her son on that last walk to Calvary. And in all of it, each of them, the three of them, tried to do and follow God's will for them. And that's all we can ask, is that we seek, we follow God's will in our life, which can sometimes be incredibly hard and very high, very difficult sometimes to discern what that love is. But the bishops also direct us to the Holy Trinity too, which is like a family bound together in love, and say that same unity in love should be displayed at the heart of each Christian family. So the question for parents is, and grandparents, do you pass on as far as you can your faith to the children and grandchildren? Are we transmitting to them God's values? And there's a question for children. I know we've got some little ones here, and not so little ones. What do you do to help in your family life, not to obstruct it, but to get on together? What do you do to make the world, wherever you are, a better place? And then every one of us, how can we overcome our difficulties and show love and joy, which is what the gospel should always be about, and it is about. As members of a family, again, we can best witness by that daily living. It's not just the hour we come to Mass. It's that daily living, day by day. We come here, as it were, to recharge our batteries with that word to guide us and that sacrament to feed and nourish us. But it's the other 167 hours in the week that we're living and working out how we work out that living of the Christian life. And then they direct us, third thing, to the parish family, the parish church. Pope Francis speaks of the parish is the presence of the church in a given territory. An environment for hearing God's word, for growth in the Christian life, for dialogue, for proclamation, for charitable outreach, to worship and celebrate. If you think our diocese had those 4 points as we moved into the new millennium, as we became a celebrating church a learning church, a caring church, a living church. All those activities there. It's important to look at parish life and think, are we doing it right? What do we need to look at afresh? What needs to go on in all those fields that our parish is as it should be? Is it as welcoming and generous as the parable? And then they say, if the parish were suddenly to disappear, would the local community notice? And fourth, the last one, we're called to reach out to the baptized whose lives do not reflect the demands of baptism, who lack, as it were, a meaningful relationship to the church and no longer walk with us. Because you've always had the Christians say they don't need to come to church, they don't need to read the scriptures, they just have their relationship with Jesus. Well, actually, Jesus says, do this. He does say it. He doesn't say, well, it might be nice if occasionally you might think about it. He says, do this in memory of me. He calls us and he tells us to love God and to love each other, to do it. He does give us those commands. And we all know people who used to sit alongside us at church, people that we used to come along with, people that are neighbours, people we know in families or friends who used to be here and are no longer. And it's to try to get alongside them if we see them and try to find out why, what's gone on, why are they not walking with us anymore. Again, Pope Francis, though, says that evangelization is first and foremost the Lord's work, surpassing anything we can see or understand. In every activity of evangelization, the primacy always belongs to God, who has called us to cooperate with him and who leads us in the power of his Spirit.